Matthew 14, if you have your Bibles tonight. Matthew chapter 14, we'll start at verse 22. Start at verse 22 and go down to 33. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear God, Lord, we thank you already, Lord, for the wonderful service this morning, dear God. I thank you for, Lord, learning more about the power of the resurrection in Sunday school, and Lord, learning what it really is to be a good Christian. Lord, I pray, Lord, you use the words, Lord, from the Word of God to prick and touch the hearts of, Lord, both the young and the old people here today, Lord. Be with us. Be with us in spirit and truth and power, Lord. Give me the words to speak. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that have come here tonight. Bless them for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you know that the Olympics are coming up here in the next couple weeks. Well, 4 years ago at the Beijing Olympics, I don't know if you've watched it, but Lolo Jones, she's a sprinter, was favored to win the 100-meter hurdles. I was on TV, I read in the newspaper what had happened. In the final event, she was pulling away from the pack when she clipped the ninth hurdle of 10 and stumbled, breaking stride to drop her back to the disappointing seventh place finish. Now, teammate Dawn Harper surged through to win the gold, but Lolo Jones was seen pounding the ground close to tears, trying to comprehend what had happened. You hit a hurdle, she said, about twice a year, where it affects your race. It's just a shame that it happened on the biggest race of my life. Jones was later seen crying to herself in a hallway, mouthing, why? Now Satan, we all know Satan, he has put up hurdles in our life. He has put up hurdles in our life to trip us up in this Christian life. See, many of us, we're going to be running in the Christian life, but Satan's going to be throwing dart after dart after dart, attack after attack after attack. And it's up to us. It's up to us to look at these hurdles, see how to deal with them. Now, we have to first realize is a goal. Now, Paul said, you know, he's looking forward to the prize, the high calling of Jesus Christ. There's a goal. There's a goal in mind. There's a goal in mind. Now, let me help you tonight. The title of my sermon is called Obstacles of Water Walking. Obstacles of Water Walking. So we're going to look at some ways and how we can experience God working in and through us. You know where it starts? It starts at an early age. It started with me. Now, some of you can't be an early age. You know, maybe got saved earlier on in life. But with me, it started early on in life. I had to experience God. I had to know God at an early age. Because right now, it's built. As Pastor Jerry said, you know, I was a Christian that had a good start. But I had to work through a lot of things. I had to grow. You know, you look at me now, or you look at people with suits and ties on, and you think, man, you know, they're godly, they're spiritual. In my experience, they're not. You know, usually they're ones you got to watch out for, you know. But you know, it's a journey. It's a journey, and we all have different stages of our life. You know, we all have different stages. Let's look at some ways that Satan will put obstacles. But also at the same time, the amazing thing is, Satan might put those obstacles, but God uses it for good. God uses the satanic attacks to grow us. To grow us. He uses trials. He uses hard times in our life to grow us. I think I was around the age, I want to say, of 13. Yes, it was 13. And I had a struggle. I believe God had called me to preach when I was 13. But I didn't want to. I was scared. I was really scared. I was like, God, I cannot do it. I mean, look at me. I mean, God, you want to use this? And God said, yes, I want to use you. I want to grow you. I kind of ran for a couple years. I was scared. I didn't know what to do, but God kept working on me, and finally I broke. And about the age of 16, I told my mom, I said, you know, I want to preach. I believe God has called me to preach. And from then on, God put me on a journey. It has been a journey. It's been an adventure through the Christian life. And let me help you, teenagers and young adults. It's not really teenagers. Young adults. Help you see some obstacles in your life. You're going to face some struggles. And let's see from the Word of God how you can help and get help. Number one, the obstacle of disobedience. The obstacle of disobedience. Now, we see here, let's go back to Matthew 14. It says, and verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. If you're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're in the ship. You're in the ship. You've decided, okay, God, I believe your word. I will go to church. God, I believe you. I will follow the Bible, what it says, and I will go to church at least. So you're in the ship. Now, remember, God had to take these disciples away from the multitudes. You're away from the world. We're away from the world. We're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, so you're in the ship. You've obeyed. You've obeyed, at least from what we can see. You've obeyed. The obstacle of obedience. Now, they obeyed. You trust the Bible enough to know that you need to be in God's house. Now, obedience. God has set a high precedent for obedience. Now, what were the three things in the Ark of the Covenant? There are three things. First of all, we got what? The manna. We got Aaron's rod. And what was the third thing? Anybody remember? The Ten Commandments, the law. God valued the law. God values the law. He puts a high precedence on the law. Now, you might not think much about it, Christian school teenagers, but the rules of the Christian school are there for a reason. They're there for a reason. They're there to help us. They're there to guide us. When I went to Bible college, I had rules set over me. I had to follow them. I might not understood them all. You know, thou shalt not kill. What does that mean, you know? I have a brother. I was like, come on, don't you understand, God? There's rules for a reason. It's for my protection. It was for my protection. I look back now, and I'm thankful that there are many rules I did obey and didn't break. Now, there were some teenagers that we did break, but God led me through repentance, and I changed my ways, and now I do follow after them. That's the difference. Number one, the obstacle of disobedience. Now, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we see if we want to draw close to God, as Peter did, stepping out on faith onto the water, he wanted to get close to Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Number two, the obstacle of a storm. The obstacle of a storm. Obedience and being in the Lord's will bring storms. Isn't that great to know? Man, if I do number one, I'm going to get storms. Yes, I can't wait. I know that's what you guys are thinking. Yes, I'm going to follow the rules and life is going to be great. No problems whatsoever. And then reality hits and you find yourself hurting. You find yourself, oh man, Lord, I did the right thing. I did the right thing and I still have problems? Yes. Yes, because that's God's way of growing us. Right. It's through storms. Right. It's through problems. It's through trials. Storms aren't there for your failing. They're there for your growing. Amen. They're not there to hurt you. They're not there to hurt your relationship with Jesus Christ. They're to grow your relationship with Him. At the age of about, I think, 17, I had struggled, and I had some hard times in the teenage life. And there's some things that I did. When I cried in my bed, and there are some times that I did, I turned on some good godly music. Amen. I did. And through that music, God helped tender my heart to what He wanted. Now you can either look at trials and say, God, okay, he's hurting me, I don't want to get close to him, or he's bringing me closer to him. Through those trials, have some good godly music you can listen to. There's going to be times, teens, adults, where we cry to God and it will hurt, hurt, and hurt. If you haven't been there yet, you will. I promise you. There will be times in your life you will not know what to do. And you will cry, God, just take me home. I don't want to be here anymore. Lord, why did you have me here? But it was through God, through making some of the right decisions at those pivotal moments, that I decided I'm not going to turn against God. I'm going to turn to God. So don't let Satan have the obstacle of the storm and win in that area. Let God use that obstacle for good. Number three, we're flying tonight. We're flying, so we're going to be out here, and you'll do whatever you do. Taco Bell, something like that, I guess. Number three, the obstacle of the wrong desires. The obstacle of the wrong desires. Let me help you out, teens. The one thing that helped me, and probably the reason why I'm standing here today, was because God put a fire in me. He put a fire in me that no one else can take away.
Right.
He put something inside of me when I can't explain it. I have to preach the word of God. I have to know God. I have to know him and the power of his resurrection. I have to. You have to. There's got to be a desire, a right desire, a desire to please the Lord. There has to be. If God doesn't have your heart, he's not going to have you. You have to. I can't stress this point enough. Having the right desire. Now, Peter, he stepped out on the water. He's like, okay, Lord, I just want to be with you, Lord. You're walking on water. That's pretty cool. Can I do it too? I mean, come on. Nobody else has walked on water. Let me try. So God said, what did God say? He said, come. Just one word, come. Now, Peter, was he logically thinking during this time, okay, if I step out onto the water, am I Jesus? No. I'm probably going to fall, but let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Kind of like the last words of a redneck is, hey, watch this, Bubba. That's kind of like Peter here. Like, let's just see what happens. God, can I come? Lord said, come. But you know what Peter did? Peter, what did he do? He asked of the Lord. He asked of the Lord. He said, Lord, can I come, please? And Jesus said, come. Have you asked God what he has for you in your life? Have you asked him? At the age of 13, when I told you when I knew God called me to preach, it wasn't just a voice. I asked the Lord. There was an evangelist that came in, and he had all of our heads bowed before we would eat pizza, and he said, I want you to ask if God would have you to preach. And I thought that was kind of weird, you know, weird kind of question, but I said, all right, I'll just pray, just so I can eat pizza. And you know what? God spoke to me, and I was like, what was that? I was like, no, Lord, no, please. I'm about to eat pizza. You want me to preach? That's going to ruin my food. But you know what? I did. I obeyed. Yeah, and I tell you what, the greatest thing happens when you have the right desires. Sometimes, I shouldn't say sometimes, many of the times, it's not going to make sense to the people around you. It might not make sense to everybody. You know, when we're going up to Michigan, I'm sure it's not going to make sense to some people. Doing the Lord's will sometimes won't make sense. You think about Peter, all the disciples are in there looking at him. Have you gone cuckoo? Of course, we already know that question because of Peter, some of the decisions he's made before this. Peter was just a crazy guy, but he wanted to. He wanted to try. He had some tenacity about him. Now, the closer you get to Jesus, the less it'll make sense to the world.
Right.
To Peter, it made sense. To everybody else, it was crazy. The other disciples watched. The other disciples would never experience walking on water. You think about that. Wow. Peter was the one person besides Jesus that got to walk on water. That's pretty amazing. Only Peter can tell his children that he walked on water. Think about that. Adults, what stories have you to tell your kids? Are there stories that you can say, God did something great in my life at this point in time? Can you think? Can you sit them around a table and say, wow, this is a story. Let me tell you what happened here. Or let me tell you what happened here. My parents, there was a couple times when we didn't have food in the cupboards, and my mom, she didn't tell us. But until after the situation, God did some miraculous things. So there's one time where a group of teenagers just unloaded tons of grocery bags in our backyard, and we came home and we're like, what is that back there? A bunch of brown bags. We're kind of scared. We don't know if it was a bomb or something. But we found out it was groceries, and wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. It impacted my life forever. There are some things that I got to see God do in my life. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that the will of God will make perfect sense to everyone else. Sometimes God will take your life off script. He may have you live on a turkey farm. You know, as much as I joke around about it, to tell you the honest truth, that turkey farm has helped me. It's helped me grow. It really has. It's taught me character. It's taught me work. It's taught me a lot. It really has. Let me encourage you adults, if you have kids, work. Get them to work. Get them to work. Get them to work. It might be hard, but life's hard. Life's hard. Better get some practice now. Number four, the obstacle of forgetfulness. The obstacle of forgetfulness. Now, let's kind of look at Matthew 14, just what had happened before this miracle. Matthew 14, verse 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they all did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Now, this is the feeding of the 5,000 that we see that it happened right before this miracle. How much do we forget the miracles that God has done in our life? How often do we forget his grace, his mercy, just his deliverance in our life? Are there times where you dwell upon what God has done for you? Has there been times in your life where you were in a dark time, but you remembered, you say, wow, God did this for me. God did this for me. He can do this for me. He can do this for me. Psalm 105:5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Psalm 63:5-6, my soul shall be satisfied as the marrow in fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The next generation needs stories. They need to be reminded. They need to be reminded of the time when God did some marvelous and wonderful things. I got some stories in my life. I can remember back to the time what God did for me. Back when I was about 14, I started praying for my best friend. And really, he was my best friend. I didn't know that he was unsaved, but I found out that he was unsaved. And he told me, he kind of fibbed and told me that he was saved. He had gone to another church, and they believed salvation really ended up by being by works. And through prayer, up to really about Bible college, I kept praying for him. And you know what? God saved him. There was a time in his life where he had to realize that it was by faith and not by works. And man, I tell you what, I shouted. I was like, woo-hoo-hoo! My best friend just got saved! It was awesome. It was like, I felt like I was on cloud nine. It was one of the greatest times in my life. I get to see my best friend who I'd grown up with, experienced some crazy times with, did some dumb stuff with, up in heaven. I tell you what, it floored me. I got to see that God was real. That's what you have to see, teenagers. That's what you got to see, young adults. God is real. Yeah. God is real. When you see things happening in your life, you're like, whoa, everything that they taught me is actually true. Wow, all those messages, everything, it's real. It works. God is real. Wow. God answers my prayers. Yeah, you've kind of been taught that over and over and over. And it finally, light bulb clicks on. Number five, the obstacle of fear. The obstacle of fear. Matthew 14:29, he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, before we start looking down at Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus, just remember that there are 11 other guys back in the boat watching this whole affair. Before you sink, you've got to be out of the water. As long as you stay in the boat, you'll never sink, but you'll never walk on water either. However, Peter, he still fell because of fear. Back at Bible college, I was in a class. It was called Soul Winning 101, or Beginning Soul Winning. And he had us write on a piece of paper the one thing that would probably, the reason why we wouldn't soul win, the reason that kept us maybe from being soul winning or going soul winning. 90% of the class put fear. The fear of soul winning. They're afraid. I was one of them. I was afraid. I was afraid what people thought. I was afraid of maybe looking like an idiot. Well, that's sometimes going to happen. That's just part of it. But they were afraid. Peter became afraid. Look at how we became afraid. Verse 26, it says, and when the disciples saw, underline that in your Bible, saw, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Saw, when they saw him. Verse 30, go down to verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, underline that word saw, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. He was looking at the wrong thing. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He was looking at the wrong thing. Now, Christians, we get saved. We trust Jesus Christ by faith, correct? Amen? When after we get saved, we look at our grocery bill and say, uh-oh. How can we trust God to save us from hell to go to heaven one day, but we don't trust him to put gas in our car? How can we trust God to save us through resurrection power? Oh, but God, you can't restore this relationship. You can't do this, really? I mean, I kind of got to do it myself. I kind of got to figure everything out over here. Oh, but God, you saved me. I trust you for salvation. I mean, God, really? I mean, can you really help me here? Can you help me find the right spouse? Can you really help me find the right one? God, can you really help my children? I mean, I trust you for salvation, something I've never really seen before, something I've never seen heaven, but, I can't trust you with things that I do see. The obstacle of fear. Number six, last point, like I said, very quick, obstacle of myself. The obstacle of myself. At times, God will test your loyalty and your commitment to him. And the one thing that will be in the way is you. The one thing that will be in the way is me. Now, what is your breaking point? What will it take you for your faith to crumble? What will it take you for your faith to waver? Will it take family? Financial trouble? Someone you look up to fails? A hurtful event that takes place? All of these are circumstantial, but we have a God who is in control of the circumstances. Acts 20:24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. God isn't asking you to die for him. He's asking you to live for him. So many people want to say, God, I will die for you. God says, I want you to live for me. I want you to live for me. Do you desire to be with Jesus? Do you desire to be with Jesus? We looked at some of these obstacles tonight. What's it going to take you to fall and be disqualified? What's it going to take you to start going forward to backward? What's it going to take? Is it going to take fear? Is it going to take yourself? Perhaps it could be wealth, money. Could it take that to get you sidetracked? Oh, God, I want to do your will, but there's a lot of money over here. God, I love you. You're wonderful, but Justin Bieber's over here. What will it take you? Do you desire to walk to Jesus? Do you desire to walk to him? Even though you might fall. See, stepping out on faith, trusting Jesus in the Christian life, as you're in the boat, when you step out, God, I want to do this ministry. God, I want you to use me. What you're saying is, God, I'm stepping out of the boat. I want to walk on water. Do you desire to be with Jesus? Do you desire to be with Jesus? I'll use this illustration, then I'm done. A young man who'd just gotten saved, he had lived a couple years into the Christian life, and he heard about an older man that was in a town next to his. And he heard about this man that he walked with God. He was one that would know Jesus. He heard about this man. He was interested. He's like, I have to meet this man. I have to meet this man. He went to the town that the man was in, and he asked around the town. He said, all right, does anybody know where this older preacher guy is? He was a preacher, and some of the guys said, well, he's out on a river. He usually spends his time down by the water on the river. You'll probably find him down there. He said, okay. He traveled down by the river. He saw the old man there on a rock, just right in the middle of the river. And he was just standing there, and the young man said, okay, how am I going to get to him? So he just decided, I'm just going to jump over there. And he finally got to the large rock, and he met the old preacher. He said, hi, my name is such and such, and I heard that you could tell me how to get to Jesus, how I can experience Jesus for myself. Now, the old man said, yes, I can do that. That's not a problem at all. He said, but I need you to get on your knees. I need you to get on your knees. He said, okay. And they knelt down there by the water. And the old man, he grabbed his head, the young man's head like this, and he dunked him in the water. And the young man said, what are you doing? And the old man said, well, you wanted to see Jesus, right? He said, yeah, but what are you doing? He said, kneel down again. He said, okay. So he knelt down, and the old man there, he grabbed his head, and he dunked him in water for 10 seconds this time. The young man's trying to catch his breath. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, well, you want to see Jesus, right? He said, yeah, but this is just kind of weird. Well, the old man, he said, kneel down again. This time you'll see Jesus. This time you'll experience God. He knelt down there, and the old man grabbed his head and dunked him for 30 seconds this time. He got up, he went, gasping for air and flailing. He said, I need air. I need air. Oh. Whew, I need air. The old man said, when you need Jesus as much as you need air, that's when you experience him.